Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And the first verse one to look at here is Proverbs 15, verse 8. Proverbs 15:8, where Scripture says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." Now, what we've tried to do here for over 5 years now is to have an emphasis on prayer in our Wednesday night service. To me, in my Christian life, I've always enjoyed Wednesday nights because in the church I've been in, because there's an emphasis usually on prayer and a prayer request, and this is, I believe, an effort to help us through the week. I think the world, I've been out of the employment world for years, but I think the world talks about Hump Wednesday. But we have something better. We have Wednesday night service to help us from Sunday to Sunday. Amen. And so we try to focus on prayer and have tried to do that through the years. And there's a great deal of passages in Scripture on prayer. And I've tried to cover a few of them, to be sure. And occasionally I've covered some of them more than once. But occasionally we talk about the same truth more than once in the duration of a life of a church. So there's plenty of doctrine we can emphasize and repeat and so on. But we want to make the Wednesday night service an oasis for prayer. And we bring a prayer request here and so on. I thought back through the years how we've seen the Lord answer prayers, and I think as we brought them forth here on Wednesday nights in various areas, certainly we have an ongoing prayer request for health for our assembly members, and we've seen the Lord intervene and help people physically by definite answered prayers, and we thank the Lord for that. We've had prayer requests through the years for individuals who have either lost their job or looking for a job or wanting a little better situation economically, and we've seen the Lord answer these prayer requests. And we've prayed for growth in our assembly, both in numerical growth and spiritual growth, and we've been privileged to see the Lord do this as well. And I, as pastor, think that I've seen all of the flock grow in the years. And I certainly have grown. And hopefully I've manifested some of that. But I've seen growth in our assembly. We pray for finances for our assembly and for various situations and so on. We've seen the Lord answer prayer concerning finances, both individually and in the church. And by the way, I've got, Lord willing, I've got an announcement to make very soon on a financial blessing relative to our church. So, I'll hold off on that a little bit longer. But let's keep praying for these things. And then we prayed for salvation, spiritual growth and salvation for individuals. We've seen some folks saved through this ministry, so we're thankful for that. And then we've also seen the Lord bless the seminary ministry and the teaching of the Word of God in other places, church planted around the world. And our church has been involved in three church plants so far, and Lord willing, another one. So I think we can say in our track record here, we've prayed, we've taken Scripture at face value, we've asked the Lord, and I think we can say individually and collectively, the Lord has blessed us, especially through our Wednesday night prayer meeting. So I want to keep that focus here on prayer. The Lord said that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Why did He say that? Well, we have a tendency whenever difficulties come is to faint and get discouraged and think of how are we going to work ourselves out of this rather than doing what? Praying. And so the Lord wants us to pray. So we want to have that focus. Well, and studying and so on, I thought maybe I'll consider what Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had to say about prayer and prayer in the book of Proverbs. And interesting, to me anyway, that he mentions the word prayer as a noun only three times. And yet he was quite a prayer warrior, you might say. Certainly For instance, if I've had you turn to Proverbs 15, stay there, but let's also flip over to 1 Kings, and I know I've gone through this in great detail in the past, but there in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28, we see Solomon uses the word prayer, tefillah is the word, but he used the word prayer in 1 Kings 8, 28, in this magnificent prayer that he puts forth as he dedicated the temple that he built for the Lord. But there in verse 28 he says, "Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today." So notice he mentions a prayer twice, the verb once, and servant twice. He was a servant of the Lord, and as a servant of the Lord, he was one who prayed. And we, as servants of the Lord, need to take that to heed as well. We need to be those that pray. We need to be men and women who pray, young people as well. Our word, by the way, in verse 28 is the same one that he uses three times in Proverbs. So I want to look at these passages tonight and consider them. And as Solomon was praying, by example, his teaching here basically indicates that prayer and spirituality goes together. Now, we might say, well, that's obvious, but he makes it overly obvious in the passages that we have here. In other words, spiritual people pray. Spiritual people pray. Well, let's look here in our passage, Proverbs 15, verse 8. Here in this verse, he says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now, here is a proverbial statement about prayer. And there are some striking things about the parallelism that we see here. This is obvious parallelism. That once you have your eyes geared towards Hebrew parallelism, you can see these points immediately. And as he makes contrast in his parallelism in this case, we can see definitely the message that he's trying to put forth here. For instance, let's look at this. So we're here in verse 8, and he talks about the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. So let's look at the key words here. Sacrifice. Wicked and abomination. Abomination, all right? So sacrifice, wicked, abomination. And he contrasts that with the prayer of the upright is his delight. So here we have prayer. Upright. And delight. So see the a vast contrast here that we have here. Vast contrast. Certainly as we go through this. Sacrifice, prayer. Sacrifice is a form of external worship. Prayer is a form of internal worship. Wicked, upright. Abomination, delight. And so quite a parallel that we have here. And as spiritual folks, we want to delight the Lord with our prayer. Let's look at these words a little more carefully here. So we begin to look at this, and we see he says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So the sacrifice. Sacrifice of the wicked, for instance. Well, we can think of an example here, certainly, in Scripture. And let's look here in 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and here's a well-known passage, but it illustrates what the Lord is saying here, or what Solomon's saying here. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, notice Samuel says this to Saul, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of than the fat of rams." He goes on to say, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. because thou, see, so that's a personal pronoun, thou, that's Saul, has rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now notice the reciprocation here, by the way, and this reciprocation comes out in Scripture. The Lord, we might say, responds to us the way we respond to him. We hear him, he hears us. We reject him, he rejects us. We turn from sin, he turns from the calamity he's going to bring on us. And so we see this mere theology, you might say. But in verse 22, we have clearly the issue of putting forth sacrifices without the heart being in it, without Saul's heart in it. And Samuel here makes it very clear. This is wickedness. This is wickedness. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. So anybody can put forth empty worship, and many people do put forth empty worship. That's easy. The worship has to come from the heart. And so we see that, come back to our passage here, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now the wicked here, one of the first references to the wicked, if you want to see how wicked is, Rasha here is found in Genesis 18:23, and probably right away you can tell, well, if we're going to Genesis 18, we know what wickedness we're talking about here. Genesis chapter 18 and 23, our word shows up here. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And of course, the wicked here were the Sodomites. So that's how wicked is. You get an idea of the wickedness. Of course, the wickedness embraces a lot of different wickednesses, but certainly this is a case for that. And so we see the contrast here between sacrifice and prayer, wicked, and the upright. So the upright here, Yashar, is the word behind upright, but it's found numerous times in the Scripture referring to believers. So the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Then he uses the word abomination. The word abomination here is toeba, toeba. And from toeba comes our word taboo. Our word taboo, T-A-B-O-O. Taboo comes from toeba. And of course, all words come from Hebrew originally. So something taboo is really an abomination. So societies have taboos, and these taboos would be abominations to the society, but there's some absolute taboos as well, or abominations. And so here again, the Scripture brings out how wicked this is, how wicked empty worship is. See, and so we, as we come before the Lord and want to come and bring our prayer requests and so on, we have to check our heart. Is our heart right with God? Are we here because this is the Wednesday night thing to do, and I have to do this, and I'm here, but my mind's 100 miles away, and I'm going to go through the motions, but you know, somebody else's prayer is going to have to carry me because I'm not really here. I'm gone. I'm thinking something else. No, I think I hope our hearts are here so that our prayer is genuine, and it comes from a spirituality and from a need to need the Lord. And a desire to need the Lord and so on. So abomination shows up 117 times, covers all kinds of abominations in the Old Testament. Moral and social abominations. It covers eating the wrong diet, violating the kosher diet that the Jews had back there, eating certain animals and so on. All kinds of abomination run throughout the Scripture here. And so when the Lord is contrasting, you see, and making these vast contrasts, here's where he wants us over here. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Because if this is not what's going on in your life, then what are your options? Where are you spiritually? You see that? And so it's pretty clear. who wants to go through the motions as a wicked person would be, and putting forth something that God detests, that's an abomination. So we see the point that he's bringing out, and we see how pithy, you might say, or how concise this truth is, as Solomon puts forth a parallel proverb like this. Now, Scripture talks about being his delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. So the Lord wants to delight in our prayer. Now, Scripture tells us he already knows what we need, and yet he wants us to be involved in prayer. And when we're involved in prayer and crying out to him, showing that we are needy and we need him, see, then that becomes a delight. But he's not interested in mechanical prayers and emptiness and so on. Now, the word delight here shows up 56 times, various places, various ways, and so on. Let's look at several of these. First of all, in Psalm 69, we have some parallel ideas here. In Psalm 69, let's see, verse 13. Psalm 69:13. Here, David, Solomon's father. David said, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time." Our word acceptable is the same word for delight. In an acceptable or delightful time. "O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation." So our prayers are to be a delight unto the Lord. And our prayers, whenever they're a delight to the Lord, are at a delightful or acceptable time to him. "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God." So I would say, when we come to the Lord with a heart of prayer and a spirituality of having need of the Lord and so on, this would be acceptable time. There's no inacceptable time or unacceptable time to bring prayers that are a delight to the Lord. And so we see how the word is used and translated there. Another place we could look is in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, Solomon wrote this as well, but in this time in verse 32. Proverbs 10:32, he says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness." So here we have some more parallelism here. Lips, mouth, righteous, wicked, acceptable, forwardness. Or something is inappropriate. Something not acceptable, but here's our word acceptable. So our prayer is to be a delight to the Lord. There is an acceptable time to bring a delightful prayer to the Lord. And here we see the righteous know what is acceptable. And why do we know what's acceptable? Because we know he wants us to come with a heart that wants to worship him in truth and spirit and truth. And then one other passage here in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Here we see our word delight or acceptable shows up in another way translated. 14:9 says, "Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Among the righteous there is favor. So the righteous, see the parallel here, the righteous in contrast with the wicked are fools. The righteous pray at acceptable time. The righteous know why they use acceptable prayers and words, and their prayers are a delight to the Lord. And so we see that, first of all, then, in the first reference that Solomon uses, he gives a stark contrast and the need for righteous people who bring their prayers before the Lord and be a delight to him. And so that's what we want. We want to delight him, and he brings us into situations that require us to trust him. See, and this is what he wants. This is what he wants. All right, let's move on to the second reference in Proverbs on to our word prayer. And this would be in 15:29, same chapter, a little bit later on here. In 15:29, notice what he says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." He's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now, in this case, we've got some more parallel going on here. And in this case, 1529. So here the Lord, and then the second clause, He, and then Lord is far from, and He heareth, and then the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So let's look at it this way. We have Lord, and He, and then far versus heareth. So far heareth, and then finally far from the wicked heareth the prayer. Heareth the prayer of the righteous. So we have wicked and righteous. All right. Again, we have some parallelism. So the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the righteous. So the idea here obviously would be that He doesn't hear the wicked. In other words, if you're far away from somebody, you can't hear them. You can't hear somebody you're far away from. So He's far from the wicked. He doesn't hear the wicked. He's far away from them. But the contrast here, or the parallel contrast, is He hears because He's near the believer, far from the wicked. But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So here's the word prayer again, tefillah, showing up again. So the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. And so he's near the believer, and He's in hearing distance, and He wants us to pray. He's in hearing distance. We don't have to shout. He's right here in our presence. He wants us to pray. Whereas the wicked, we might say, why is He far from wicked? Well, maybe it's the wicked are far from Him. So conversely, the wicked are far from Him. He's far from the wicked. The wicked is really not interested in being close to the Lord. The wicked's not interested in having a close walk with the Lord. The wicked is, they're not interested in having fellowship and being in close relationship with the Lord. They're far from Him. And so, far from Him, He can't hear them. He can't hear them. But He can hear the believer. So we see the emphasis once again. In all of this, we would say that the wicked's worship is worthless. The wicked's worship is worthless. Think of that. The wicked's worthless worship is worthless. And however, the believer's worship is of great value, not only to the believer, but to the Lord. He wants us to come to Him and worship Him. Now, since the wicked can't be heard, and they're far away, and that maybe that would even indicate they're not praying, where do we fit into this? Are we near the Lord, or are we far away? the wicked, presumably, would not even pray. Maybe he's trying to say here, the Lord is far from the wicked, He can't hear them because they're not even praying. But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So what about us? How do we fit in here? Do we pray? We pray with a heart that's committed to the Lord and dependent upon Him and needing of Him. Or is this all empty exercise that we go through on a regular religious ritual here? So we see some more parallelism. Again, he's very poignant in his approach to this and in the truth that he lays out here. The Lord is far from the wicked. So if you're a wicked person, you're trying to pray, He's not going to hear you. Far from you, He can't hear you. And on the other hand, He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So His ear is right here, ready to hear our prayers. And the third reference to prayer in Proverbs is found in verse 20, chapter 28, verse 9. And here we have in 28:9 more of a total negative statement here. 28:9, and it's a different type of parallelism. So in 28:9, it says, He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law is prayer. So here's the third reference, prayer in Proverbs. And the last reference, prayer in Proverbs. Even his prayer shall be an abomination. Here's the word abomination showing up again. But in this case, we have let's put it this way, we have a cause and effect in this parallelism, the cause and effect. We might say, why is the prayer of the wicked an abomination? Because, so we have cause and effect, because the wicked one turns away his ear from hearing or obeying. In other words, just like what Samuel told Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And so if we hear the word of God, we need to respond. And our response in obedience to the word of God is going to affect our prayer life somewhat. I mean, if we're not going to obey the word of God, then how can we expect to be heard from the Lord? In fact, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, although this verse doesn't necessarily bring it out, there's other passages that indicate if the sinner won't hear the Lord, the Lord's not going to hear the sinner. So here, once again, is this reciprocal reaction there. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. So as the word of God goes forth, we hear Scripture, and we find out this is what I'm due to obey, and so on. Then this affects our spirituality. And if we're not going to obey, then it's the same as turning from the law. And then what's going to happen to our prayer life? So we're not just be doers, but be hearers as well and obey the Scripture. And then we can expect the Lord to hear our prayer. But we want our prayer as believers to be a delight to the Lord and not an abomination. So how can we ensure that? We can ensure that by being right with the Lord and being dependent upon Him and being obedient to the Lord and wanting to obey Him. And not interested in some empty worship that may satisfy others or satisfy our conscience that I went through the motions, but I'm really not going to obey. No, we need to obey the Lord as the Word of God goes forth. And so our spiritual condition is important in prayer. Now let's conclude with an interesting psalm. Let's conclude here with Psalm 22. Psalm 22. This is a predicted prophecy by David of the Lord's inner conversation with the Father on the cross and in the Lord's earthly ministry there. But here in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? For my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. Well, these the passages, especially verse 1, this is found in the Gospels here, and we know that this is what the Lord said on the cross. So why was it that the Lord, who was righteous, he was upright, and yet the Father was far away from him? Father was separated from him. The Father wasn't hearing him. Why is that? Well, it's because he took our sin on him. He identified with our sin. He identified with our sin. And this is why there had to be this separation that we cannot comprehend. We cannot comprehend. But here is the righteous one who was separated from the Father, not because of his sin, but because of our sin. And so this gives us a little insight into the Lord's cry here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son, forsaken by the Father. How is that possible? Other than to see how horrendous sin really is. And when we get a grasp idea to whatever extent that we can, we see how terrible sin is. And our Savior took our sin willingly, and knowing that, apparently knowing that he would be separated temporarily from the Father and far from the Father because of our sin. And that this shows the magnitude of certainly, first of all, sin, but it also shows the great magnitude of the Lord and what he's done for us. And so we ought to rejoice in the fact that he was willing to do this for us. And so we can praise the Lord for the salvation that we do have. And yet, learning from this then, let's don't be far from the Lord in our prayer life. Let's be legitimate. Let's be honest. Let's be obedient. Let's be faithful. Let's come to the heart, Lord, with a true spirituality of needing Him to intervene for our life and our prayer requests. Well, that's what we want to do today. So let's conclude here in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the time we've had to be in the Word of God. We pray that You'll help us to learn these truths from Solomon and see the need for spirituality in our prayer life, and that we challenge and check ourselves. Are we just going through empty repetition and empty thinking here and worship and so on, and our hearts far away, or we're not right with Thee? Pray that You'll challenge all of us and examine ourselves in our prayer life and as we come to Thee in prayer. Now I pray that You might bless our prayer time here. We thank You for assembly and the good number that are here. We pray that You'll intervene for all of us and help us tonight now as we come to Thee in prayer. We ask for, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.